record budget.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Listening Across the Border, that's the name of this program. We're continuing here in our study of the scripture. We're looking at Judges chapter 6, and where the Heavenly Father raises up Gideon. He starts to tear down after 7 years of bondage. And I liken that to the bondage that America is in. Only America has been in bondage much longer than 7 years, where we have to answer to a foreign system of gods and pay tribute at every turn. Tribute is mandated at every turn for everything you do. You have to pay a tribute to travel. You have to pay a tribute to live on your in your home. You have to pay a tribute to work. You have to pay tribute for if you get old. Everywhere you turn, you have to pay tribute to some foreign god. And if you don't, well, they have their policy enforcers out there to gather you up and take you to their temple, and so you can stand before their black-robed high priest, who would decide what to do with you if you have not volunteered in. And if they can't force a signature out of you to volunteer, and then they might just throw you in to their prison for an undetermined period of time. It happens daily. But most people just give in to the fear, oh yes, I'll side, I will pay the tribute. And that's where Israel was at this time. They were paying the tribute. They allowed the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east to come in and put their little temples everywhere. And that's why Joash finally stands up and he says, let Baal plead for himself against one who has cast down his altar. So then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So all the men of that realm came out and answered the trumpet call of Gideon. And he sent a messenger throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if dew be on it, the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. I just thought of something funny. You know, this is the proverbial fleece. He put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I know that thou wilt save Israel. Is Gideon kind of tricking himself here? Now, if he put the fleece out on the grass instead of on the bare floor, I could believe that it would naturally occur that there would be dew on the grass and the fleece. Because does dew gather on the floor? Because the earth usually stays warm enough that the dew point isn't reached by the surface of the earth, whereas the wool is up into the air, where if it's cold enough, the wool would get cold enough to reach the dew point. That's something to think about anyway. So maybe Gideon is just tricking himself here, but he should have believed perhaps without the fleece. But anyway, we'll just read the story. Just something there for all you farmers know what I'm talking about when it comes to dew point. And all you weathermen going, huh, yeah, that kind of, there's something funny about that, isn't there? Yes, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth, and perhaps he's talking about earth with grass, but he says, I will put the wool on the floor. So, I don't know, if it's just a bare floor, it's never going to get cold enough to hit the dew point, so it would be natural that the dew would only be on the fleece, yes. Something to think about. Anyway, we'll move on here. Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning, and thrust the fleece together, and wrung the dew out of the fleece in a bowl full of water. Well, that is some kind of dew. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. I don't know. I met an angel of the Lord, and all these signs being required, but I guess, you know, the Heavenly Father understands his inability to believe, I guess. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew upon all the ground. Well, now that is a miracle, because that's the opposite of the way it would happen naturally. Finally, we have a miracle there. So anyway, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 20,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And Yahuwah, the Lord, said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him thou shalt set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all of the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass that same night that Yahuwah said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Farah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Then went he down with Farah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Now you can tell here that Gideon was fearful. From the beginning, he constantly wanted reassurance from the Lord. We have the fleece, and now, you know, the Lord knows that he fears to go down even with 300. So he says, take your servant and go down and hear what they're saying. And so that's what he does. Every step of the way, Gideon is fearful and needs to be constantly reassured. So Yahuwah, the Lord says to him, but if thou fear to go down, and obviously did, says, go with Farah, thy servant, down to the host. And so we find out that's exactly what he did. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Farah's servant into the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. I mean, they're only 300. You'd kind of have a little fear, too, if you're only 300 and you have a multitude that practically can't be numbered. It says, and their camels were without number as the sand of the sea sighed for a multitude. And when Gideon was come, and it's not literally as the sand of the sea, because you know there can't be that many, but it's to draw you a picture that, there were so numerous that he couldn't number them. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. So here you have Gideon and his servants sneaking up to the outside of the camp at night, you know, because they're ready for the battle in the morning, you know, the Amalekites and all them, they're going to have a battle in the morning, right? Because they saw that there were 10,000s of these Israelites, not knowing that only 300 were left. All the rest were sent home, or perhaps they did know they were sent home, so they felt at ease. So when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, and the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Midian, and all the host. Wow, this is quite a conversation he's overhearing. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that be with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of Yahuwah and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord, the sword of Yahuwah and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and Yahuwah set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zereath, and to the border of Abel Mohelah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-Bara and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Beth-Bara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock. Oreb and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, "Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites?" And they did chide him sharply. And he said unto them, "What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered in your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb, and what was I able to do in comparison to you?" Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, "Give, I pray ye, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." And the princes of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine army?" And Gideon said, "Therefore, when Yahweh hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna unto my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." And then he went up thence to Penuel and spoke unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spoke also to the men of Penuel, saying, "When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. And there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and smote the hosts, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth, and said, "Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom you did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary?" And he took the elders of the city, and the thorns of the wilderness, and the briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel, and he slew the men of the city. And he said unto Zeba and Zalmunna, "What manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor?" And they answered, "As thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king." And he said, "They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. As you have saved them alive, I would not slay you." And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, "Up, and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, be thou, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. Yahuwah shall rule over you. He's saying, the Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, We will willingly give. And they spread a garment, and did cast thereon every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. Oh, well, there's something that's controversial. 70 sons. That's 70 sons. Wow. Anyway, we'll pick up here when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border.
Thank you.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org, and we're going through the Book of Judges, finishing up here in chapter 8, where Gideon had delivered Israel from Midian and the kings of Midian. And we left off at, let's see, about verse 28, 29 here. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, and Jerubbaal is another name for Gideon, a symbolical name of Gideon. It says, Baal will contend, Jerubbaal. So he contended with Baal. And something funny I noticed here is this verse, chapter 8, verse 27, where following Gideon, took all of this gold chains and all of these things and earrings, and he made an ephod thereof. And going back to verse 27 here, now looking at the word ephod, And it says, second form is a rare form, probably of foreign derivation. It says a girdle, specifically the ephod or high priest shoulder piece. Also generally an image, an ephod. So it could be an image, and that's apparently what he did. He made an image, and he put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon. And a hook, let's see, a snare. Well, we all get the idea of for catching animals, a snare. So it became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. So he made some kind of memorial, you know, that's to what had happened. And he placed it on the land of his house. He put it in his city. And it became a snare. And so this was a golden memorial that he fashioned out of this jewelry that he collected, and it became a snare. So I see here a warning against making a memorial to anything that people can look to, and then the memorial becomes more important than the thing, because it was Yahuwah that delivered. So all of these memorials that people make and put up everywhere, they don't really mean a lot, because they really diminish the reality that you're memorializing. They really do. That's how I feel about it. Anyway, so, and they can become a snare. So anyway, we have a kind of a warning here against making memorials in an offhanded kind of way. It says Israel went thither a-whoring after it, which means they looked to this image, this memorial, rather than looking to God himself. And especially as time passed on and the reality that you're memorializing becomes more of a myth in the minds of a people than a reality, because they're looking to a memorial instead. And just something that I notice and thought perhaps I could relate to some kind of reality so we could understand it. Anyway, so thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel. We read that. Jerubbaal, that is Midian, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons. And wow, you know, his wife certainly... Wait a minute. He had many wives. It wasn't one woman that had all those sons. That's 70 sons. I mean, that's besides women. I mean, besides daughters, I should say. So Gideon had a lot of sons, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bore him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. And just a note there for you, in case the name Abimelech pops up in the scripture, we know that it's Gideon's son. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age, and he was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Baalim, and made Baal-Bereth their god, a Phoenician deity, that is Baalim, and Baal-Bereth, a deity of the Shechemites. So Baal really gets around. And they made Baal their god. And the children of Israel remembered not Yahuwah their god, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. So 40 years, they had 40 years of peace. As long as Gideon lived, they were looking to Gideon, and they had pretty much enjoyed their 40 years of prosperity and peace, because they were delivered out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. There were no booths to their enemies, no temples to their enemies' gods, no one in there collecting tribute and policing them of their enemies on every side. It says, neither show they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal. So they forgot, they remembered not. They showed no kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon. according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Chapter 9 of Judges in verse 1. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spoke of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, He is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-Bereth, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went into his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, and that is the sons of Gideon, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. So here we have a very evil man that rose up, the seed of Gideon. And I was thinking about this, that one of the greatest ministries that men and women have is to their own children. And that's why it is so important, number one, for you parents, if your children are in public school, to take them out. Why do you have them in pagan training centers and call yourself Christians? Call yourself the people of God. Because you know what? If you don't follow Him and you call yourselves the people of God, you are not. Because the people of God follow Him. And following Him means that you take your children out of the pagan training centers. And you say, oh, but my wife needs to work. Well, let me tell you. I've been a single parent and homeschooled my children. You can do it. Obedience comes first. You say, oh, but how will we make it? My wife has to work. Oh, no. How will I do it? Well, I'm going to tell you what. If both parents are working, listen to me. If both parents are working, you immediately double your cost of living. And then you get caught into the little hamster roller running cage. And you're in the wheel now, you're in the hamster wheel, and you can't seem to get off. Because if you get off, it's like you're going to crash, you won't be able to pay all your bills. Yeah, get out of the little hamster roller running cage. You're just trapped in it. And you think, oh no, I can't stop, because how, you know, what'll happen if we stop? Well, you need to put on the brakes, because I'm going to tell you what you can do. You call yourself the people of God, and your children are in the public school system training, being trained to be good little pagans, and you're going to lose them. You know, perhaps Gideon had too many sons and he couldn't train them all. Now, there's a warning for us. We need to train our sons in godliness. We need to train them in the nurture and admonition of Yahuwah, as the scripture says. Or of the Lord, as the authorized King James Version says. We need to train them. If we leave it to pagans to train them, if we turn them over to our peers, and the parents are busy working all the time, then the parents become accustomed to not spending time with their children, and they lose them to the society, they lose them to their peers, and one day they wake up and they go, what happened? Oh, and rebellion, that's just a normal thing. Children, yes, it's a normal thing in the pagan public fool system. It's a normal thing when you have no relationship with your children because you turn them over to babysitters. The babysitters of the state, and you have no relationship with them anymore. Of course it's normal that they're going to rebel. Who are you anyway? You're the one who's turned them out to others. and then you try to exert authority over them, of course they're going to rebel. That's natural. Of course it's natural for teenagers to rebel under those circumstances. Like I said, when both parents work, by virtue of both parents working, it doubles your cost of living. Because now, well, yes, the pagan school system is there to babysit your children during school hours. And of course, now they have, the first five program in some states, and where you can send them off and the state will pay most of it, depending on your income or whatever. But still, now you have babysitting expenses, your food costs more, and now your health costs are higher because nobody's eating healthy and nobody's living a healthy lifestyle. So now you're doubling your cost of living. If the mother would just stay home, that would ease a lot of the burden there. Keep the children home, because you spend a lot of time on traveling. You know, of the school day and the public school system, the children get up and they spend 6 hours a day in school, approximately. And they spend a couple hours traveling, so they're gone 8 hours a day. And you have to pack them a lunch, and they have to eat more expensive and unhealthy foods because of the traveling. And of course, then the whole society joins in, and you've got all of the travel expense. You've got this great building and this bureaucracy where probably 70% of every dollar that goes to it goes to administration and building expense, and probably more like 90%. And actually, very little of the expense is spent on the children. But if you homeschool, and all of you that homeschool know it's true, you take your curriculum that they do, say, in a private Christian school, and you bring your children home, and usually the private Christian schools don't have as long a day, but they sort of kind of try to mimic public schools to be more, especially if they're state accredited, to be more like the public schools. And as they get bigger, they become more like the public school system. But you'll find that generally, if you have one child, within 2 hours, you can cover the whole curriculum for the day. And if you have more children, it's going to take the parent a little more time. But then the older children help out. And you know what? For a whole family, say three or four children, if the mother has to spend 3 or 4 hours, that's going to be about it with the children. But the children are learning more than just the 3 hours. They're learning respect for their parents. They will not rebel unless you turn them out. They will learn respect for their parents rather than respect for the state and their peers, and where they learn that their parents are fools. And at the same time, they will learn true home economics. You can't learn home economics in a classroom. Give me a break. You're not home. You can learn true home economics at home, because the mother is now looking for ways to save money. You can do a lot of things. Like I said, you double your cost of living. If part of her job is to reduce the cost of living while keeping the same, or what is the word I'm looking for? The same level of living, you can do a lot to save money. You can do a lot of things that you have to pay other people to do. Plus, you can learn to eat healthy and reduce your health care costs by, let's say, getting on the Heavenly Father's health plan and living according to His Word and keeping His commandments and learning the dietary laws and realizing that He gave all those things for our own good. Learning about health and nutrition and feeding your family healthy foods and nutritious foods and supplementing properly and staying away from the witch doctors of the society. And then when their commercials come on the TV where they're advertising all their little magic pills, And saying, and in a really nice and clever way, telling you about all the bad things that are going to happen if you take their pills, their disclaimers. that sometimes they just speak them real fast at the end of the commercial, or they weave them in, cleverly disguising all of the bad effects of the pills while they're selling you this terrible stuff. And you can just watch those commercials and laugh like I do. I laugh. You know, what is wrong with people? Why do they buy this stuff? Because they've destroyed their health. And they need forgiveness now because their health is failing them. And they don't turn to God because they can't, because they're not following His law. They're following the laws of the world, so they turn to their lawgiver for the remedy to the problems that the law that they're following brings upon their life. And all of this because they have been indoctrinated by the public fool system, and by all the movies, and by the news, and by the romantic music, and on it goes. All of these things have indoctrinated your mind. You are mind controlled now by all the programming of the world. We need to come out, people. We need to come out of it. So have faith in our Heavenly Father. Women, quit the job and learn how to live, how to reduce your cost of living by 50%. Or bring your job home. You and your husband learn to work together. Because these jobs, they divide people. They bring divorce and destroy families. Women get to go spend their time with other men and women on job sites. And of course, what happens? Men and women fall in love with somebody else. And their husband starts looking bad because they never see him compared to the guy that they always see. And the same thing with the men going off. It doesn't have to be that way. Can you bring your job home? Can you and your wife and your family work together? Can you homeschool? Well, you can start by bringing the mother home. And by her practicing true home economics, learning how to homeschool, get your children out of the public fool system. And perhaps even the father can come home. But the truth is, people get into a pattern. Most wives don't want their husbands home. That's right. Think about it. I don't want him here. I don't want him in my house all day. I like it when he just comes home at the end of the day. I get to be my own woman and the head of the house. Oh, what kind of love is that? It's not our Heavenly Father's plan. He had a different plan where people lived on the land and they worked together, families, taking care of one another. His social insurance was your family. That's right. The head of the family clan was responsible to make sure all of the widows and the orphans were taken care of. It was all in our Heavenly Father's law for family government and the government of His nation, the kingdom of God on earth. And Israel threw it off. And they now are going to accept Abimelech as their king. So all the men of Shechem gathered together and all the house of Milo and went and made Abimelech, this terrible man who slew all of his brethren. They made him king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood at the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, "Reign thou over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Should I leave my fathers, my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?" And the trees said unto the fig tree, "Come thou and reign over us." But the fig tree said unto them, "Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go and be promoted over the trees?" Then said to the trees unto the vine, "Come thou and reign over us." And the vine said to them, "Should I leave my vine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?" Then said all the trees unto the bramble, "Come, thou, reign over us." And the bramble said unto the trees, "If in truth you anoint me, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely, and that you have made Abimelech king, and if you dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought with you and ventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And we just run out of time. We're going to have to start this and pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Well, in everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.
I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh your God, and walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me, and they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths, and then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, Lord, I know I'm one. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, right here under the sun. Wrath is gonna fall on the ground you trod, you'll find nowhere to run. Sinners, sinners, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, Lord, I know I'm one. Praise on the lips to an angry God, right here under the sun. Trample on the grace and the shun's rod, you'll find nowhere to run. Sinners, sinners, sinners in the hands of an angry God. In the beginning, when our hearts were free, we heard the voice inside us and followed where. Cheers.